We have been set free. The effect of Christ's incarnation, the effect of Christ's propitiation, his death in our behalf, is our emancipation.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
Our subject is the Great Deliverance, and it's based on these two very powerful verses in Hebrews, the second chapter, verses 14 to 15. And they provide for us, those two verses provide for us, a very precise flow of thought regarding Christ's redemptive ministry. Every one of us listening over the radio should have hearts overflowing with gratitude for all that Jesus Christ has done for us and done in us by rescuing us from the ugly, contaminating pollutants of this world. Every one of us should have hearts overflowing with a spirit of gratitude for all that Jesus Christ has done in our behalf in rescuing our souls, delivering us from those things that would ruin us in this life and in the life to come. Now, I'd like you to notice with me, if you have your Bibles, I hope you have one open to this section here, Hebrews, the second chapter, verses 14 to 15. I would like you to notice with me for the next few moments three steps that seem to be unfolded right here in this passage, three steps that are essential to our being rescued, three logical and necessary steps in the unfolding of the redemptive process of our Lord Jesus Christ, three steps that are essential to our being rescued. I see them unfolded for us here in Hebrews 2, verses 14 and 15. What do you see there? The first thing I see is step number one, incarnation. He accepted flesh. The Bible says, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same." I see incarnation. He accepted flesh. The second thing I see is propitiation. He accosted Satan through his death. The third thing that I see in the latter part of that section, verse 15, is emancipation. He accomplished redemption. Three steps essential to our being rescued: incarnation, propitiation, his death, emancipation. We are delivered from the entangling and contaminating influence of Satan and of sin. Now let's look at these for just a moment. The first, as I see it here in Hebrews, the second chapter, in verse 14, is this issue of incarnation, where we're taught that he accepted flesh. "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same." Now that's the first step in the whole redemptive process. That's the first step in the rescue operation for humanity. God became flesh. Incarnation. He accepted flesh. He did that for you. It's an act of unbelievable condescension, unbelievable humility, unbelievable love. It's an act of that nature for you and for me. Incarnation. Now the second step is in the latter part of verse 14, and it's what I call, and I'm borrowing a biblical term here, it's a term that occurs in the Bible, propitiation. It's a theological term. It occurs in Romans, the third chapter. It occurs in Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, on a couple of occasions. It occurs in 1 John chapter 2 and in verse 2, by which he accosted Satan. What is propitiation? I think in a sentence, to reduce it to a very simple definition, propitiation is satisfaction of a debt by sacrificial investment. And that's what he's talking about in the latter part of verse 14. In order that through death, through his propitiatory death, his satisfying death, that death which satisfies the debt we owe as a result of his sacrificial investment, in order that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. That's the second step in the redemptive process. That's the second step in achieving our deliverance, our rescue. One incarnation, he accepted flesh. He identified with our humanity apart from sin. Two, propitiation, he paid a penalty that we ought to pay. Now as I look at the latter part of verse 14, there are two things that stand out to me. The first is a unique weaponry. How did he accost Satan? How did he gain victory over Satan? The Bible says that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. It was through death. That's a unique weaponry. There's not only a unique weaponry here, but there's an unconquerable victory Do you notice he says that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death? That is the devil. What do you see when you look at that latter phrase there? There are two things that I see. One, Satan's formidable power. He had the power of death. What does that mean, Satan had the power of death? It means this. Satan exercises the power of death only in the sense that he promotes sin and rebellion against God. And whenever people engage in sin and rebellion against God, you can be sure that death will always follow. Satan's formidable power. He had the power of death. But do you notice his formal plunge here? The Bible says that the Lord Jesus Christ, through his death on the cross, destroyed him. It does not mean that he is annihilated. The Greek word there, when it says that he destroyed him, the Greek word katergeo is the word. It means to render inactive or inoperative. Satan continues to exist, but he is emptied of any real power over blood-bought saints of God. And that's what every one of us is if we placed our faith in the Son of God. The Lord Jesus Christ shed his blood. He paid a penalty for us. He purchased us, redeemed us back to God. And every one of us who has placed our faith in the Son of God is a blood-bought saint of God. And Satan has no real power over any blood-bought saint of God. The only power he has is that which we allow him. Otherwise, he's like a scorpion whose sting has been removed. He's like a serpent whose venom has already been dispelled. He's like a lion who's now without teeth. We thank God for the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross, the propitiatory death of our Savior. Those are the first two steps in the redemptive process. Those are the first two steps in our great deliverance. One, incarnation. He accepted flesh. Unbelievable act of humility and love. Two, propitiation. Through his death, he destroyed him that had the power of death, that is the devil. An unbelievable act of humility and sacrifice. And then the third is in verse 15, what I call emancipation. He accomplished redemption. The Bible says that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Emancipation. We have been delivered. We have been set free. The effect of Christ's incarnation, the effect of Christ's propitiation, his death in our behalf, is our emancipation. He descended to the earth. He destroyed or eviscerated or emptied of power Satan in order that he might deliver us. That word deliver is a very special word. It means to set free. It means to set at liberty. It means to release a person, a man or a woman, a young person or an aged individual. It means to release an individual that is bound hand and foot. It's the meaning of the term. He set us free. And we're taught in that verse that those who are thus released are those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage or subject to slavery. That is to say, we were slaves to fear. That has a terrifying and a destructive effect upon us. We were slaves to fear because we were condemned men and women with no possible hope of escape in terms of our own human initiative. We were legally liable to pay the penalty due God's law because we had violated God's law. But now the fear-producing cause has been removed for those who appropriate or integrate into their own lives the benefits of Christ's saving death. Satan no longer has a leverage over God's people. It does him no good to call for our death based on our sins because those sins have been atoned for through the finished work of Jesus Christ. We have been set free. We have been emancipated through Christ's finished work. What are those things from which the Lord Jesus Christ has set us free? I wonder if I could just very quickly list five of them for you. Those things from which the Lord Jesus Christ has emancipated us or set us free. What are the things from which we are delivered when we experience this great salvation? Salvation is deliverance, number one, from life's infections. Salvation is deliverance, number one, from life's infections. A man is saved from a crooked and perverse and untoward, the Bible says, Acts 2:40, an untoward or a crooked and perverse generation, from the soiling infections of this world. The deliverance of Jesus Christ provides a man with a divine antiseptic, which enables him to walk in the world and yet keep his garments unspotted from the world. It's a powerful thing, this deliverance. It's like a divine antiseptic, which keeps us clean in the midst of the soiling infections of the world. What a powerful deliverance. It's a deliverance not only from life's infections, but salvation is a deliverance, secondly, from lostness. Luke, the 19th chapter and verse 10, teaches us that our Lord Jesus Christ came into the world to seek and to save that which was lost. And it means, on a practical basis, that Jesus turns men and women who are groping in the darkness. He turns us first from that way which leads to the most deadly kind of death, and then into that way which leads to the most vital kind of life. The most deadly kind of death is the death which leads ultimately and irrevocably to hell. And it is the business of our Lord Jesus Christ to deliver us from that. Here we are groping in the darkness, bound for hell. And Jesus Christ turns us out of that way. And he turns us into the way that leads to the most vital kind of life. And that vital life is a life of union with God through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, which we experience here and now, and which we will experience throughout all of eternity. We are delivered, one, from life's infections. We're delivered, two, from lostness. And then salvation is a deliverance, number three, from wrath. Paul could say in Romans, the 5th chapter and verse 9, that we shall be saved from wrath through him. God's wrath, have you ever thought about God's wrath? It's an awesome thing. God's wrath is judicial. It's not emotional. It's not wild-eyed rage out of control. God's wrath is judicial, the necessary response of his nature to the violation of his law, to the violation of his holiness. God's wrath is judicial. God's wrath is equitable. It is essential. It's necessary. It must be carried out. It's equitable. It's right. It's appropriate to penalize the violation of his law. God's wrath is dreadful. It's an awesome thing to fall into the hands of the living God, the Bible says. And God's wrath is eternal. It goes on forever. There are no intermissions, no recesses, no deliverance. If we depart this world without the Lord Jesus Christ, the mighty salvation, the mighty deliverance which our Lord Jesus Christ provides is a deliverance from this wrath, this judicial, equitable, dreadful, and eternal wrath. Jesus Christ in his incarnation, Jesus Christ in his propitiation, did something which freed fallen men from that wrath. He bore the brunt of that wrath for us on the cross. Salvation is deliverance number four from sin. The Bible says, you shall call his name Jesus. And then it tells us why we shall call his name Jesus. Jesus means Savior. Jehovah saves. You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. He shall deliver his people from their sins. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. The moment a man accepts the Lord Jesus Christ, immediately he is saved, delivered, emancipated, set free from sin's penalty. He is then progressively saved, delivered, emancipated, or liberated from sin's power. And he will ultimately be delivered from sin's presence. He sets us free from sin. And then number five. Salvation is a deliverance from death. So Paul could say, as he wrote of our Lord Jesus Christ in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 10, Paul could say of our Savior that he hath abolished death, and he hath brought life and immortality to light.
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
That deliverance is yours for the here and now and for the hereafter. Jesus Christ has made it possible for you. How can we be an ungrateful people?
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.